Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
A brief word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. This is the day you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. And God, we give you thanks today. We want to focus our heart and mind to you. And give you our heart, give you our mind, give you our ears, and be attentive to your word. And speak to us today, Father. We trust you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this story of the creation and the fall, redemption, and restoration. So let's talk about creation for a minute. We'll just launch from there. Creation, according to Genesis 1:31, God said that after he created the world in the Genesis 1 account, it's also in the Genesis 2 account, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Six times he said it was good with the parts of creation, but after he made mankind, Adam and Eve, God called it very good. This is very good. So, you know, it was a beautiful situation. It was, the world was flourishing. It was beautiful. It was pain-free. It was tear-free. It was prospering. There was wholeness. And God put these four rivers in the garden to transport his goodness to the four corners of the earth, knowing that Adam and Eve's mandate would be fulfilled to be fruitful and to multiply and to spread your descendants throughout the world. And so it was all very beautiful, very good, very wholesome. But something happened called the fall, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the issue is that this world was changed, and it became a different world, the world that we know, the world that we're born into. Something happened. And so it's a very different world than the original world, where there was so much peace, so much harmony, the glory of God. There was really, earth was heaven in a sense. It was the heavens and the earth, but it was fully connected. And there was no pain, there was no sickness, but something happened. And what happened was Adam and Eve sinned. I'll mention that in the fall. But people became evil. The earth was pillaged, and catastrophe entered. Entropy entered. You know what entropy is? A state where everything goes from order to chaos, and things just kind of drop down. Gravity sets in. Things change. Things get spoiled. Things end. Our lives have a shelf life. It doesn't matter how many vitamins, how many minerals, how much exercise. I got news for you. Your body is one day going to expire. And that's just the reality, the world we live in. So the fall is the reason why the fall came. They sinned and they brought in original sin that was passed on to our DNA. So we all have a proclivity to sin, which means miss the mark. It also means transgress. And so we've missed it. We've messed up. There are some Christians that really don't even believe the Bible teaches original sin. I think that would probably be the minority, especially for those of us that have had children. You can begin to see how sin begins to manifest at birth when the baby comes out screaming, making demands, and they continue on that until they're, you know, maturing. So sin comes in. And in Genesis chapter 3, there are specific things that God addresses when you begin to see the dysfunction entering in and being carried out according to the DNA, according to the proclivity to miss the mark, the proclivity, the internal innateness of going our own way. Wow. And this is getting way ahead of myself, but I'm just so thankful that God intervenes on that, on us, so that we don't do the ultimate things that really could be so destructive and so hurtful, whether it's taking our own life or whether it's hurting someone else. God is a merciful God, and there is restraint that he allows us eat to have, and he gives us even in this fallen world. And so there was three things, three people, three three entities that God spoke to. The first was the snake. God addressed, after this fall, he addressed the snake first, and he said, okay, you have brought the introduction of the accusation into the world. You've accused my veracity. You've accused my integrity. You have accused my goodness and my faithfulness. And so he brought this attack, as God said. And he brought this accusation against God's integrity. And so God spoke to the snake and he said, you're going to be cursed. You're going to go about on your belly. We don't know if the snake originally had legs or walked around. I don't know. Isn't that sound kind of creepy? But the reality is that God says you're going to go on your belly and there's going to be enmity between you and this woman. There's going to be enmity because she's going to carry the seed of the Savior is going to come through her, the seed, the holy seed, the offspring. And you're going to have this enmity and this hatred of that seed because that seed one day will crush and bruise your head, and you're going to bruise this Savior's heel. And that's exactly was speaking ahead, you know, many years later to what happened at the cross when Jesus disarmed Satan and busted his head wide open and tore apart his kingdom at the cross, right? And that's what happened at the cross, and yet it was not without a price. It was bruising of the heel, which is symbolic for what Jesus would give up, the pain and the suffering and the agony of the cross. So that was the first conversation. And it's interesting that from that point onward, just about every woman I personally know does not like snakes. I know I'm speaking to my wife, who that was the one thing. She doesn't mind spiders or bugs, but the home that we lived in North Carolina, we had a lot of snakes. I enjoyed them. They were fun. I would love it. Now, occasionally they'd get a little bit too close and I would have to, you know. So I won't even say it. It's so horrible. But I just saw this documentary of what's happened in Florida Everglades. There are 300,000 Burmese pythons there in the Florida Everglades. They're taking over. And so it's just, you know, so you don't see any Poochie shopping malls in the Everglades. I mean, it's not like an attraction center. There's so many snakes. So that was the first conversation. The second one, and by the way, that's speaking to a natural, God speaking to a natural animal, part of the animal kingdom, but then he's also addressing the spirit that came into that animal in this curse. So the enemy is weakened. So, you know, as a child of God, the one thing you never need to do is overly give the devil too much credit. You don't need to do that. Yes, he has power to deceive and to bring fear, but he has no power over your life unless God allows it, all right? Be encouraged. You're more than a conqueror, and the enemy is under your feet. Now, the second address was to the woman where he said, you're going to have pain in childbirth. You're going to have a inordinate desire for your husband, and that's not really a good word. It can be a very distorted or perverted way. You're going to have this sort of manipulative desire to control him. And then when he addresses the man, he turns it around and he says, your fallen state is going to bring about a perverted control also. You're going to want to dominate and bring this power. So the whole thing is in dysfunction. It's in disarray as a result of this fall. It's just with us today. And you can see it in marriages, you can see it in families, you can see it in relationships. I've been counseling for 30-some years, and man, the dysfunction is just everywhere, right? In my life, in your life, in every place. And it's our job that God calls us to take charge over these things, to humble ourselves, to learn, and to deal with our brokenness, right? To deal with it, to like take it to the cross, take it to counseling. You're only as sick as your secrets. You're only as sick. That's why we need family. Oh, my goodness, we had a men's meeting that was in another level yesterday, and we heard such a confession of a life that was so far apart from God. But then God's restoration and God's grace came to this man, and as a result, it's a whole new family. It's a whole new outcome. So this was the fall. These were some of the problems, and you look at these things. They're so true. The pain in childbirth. Our daughter-in-law, Kristen, Christian and Christian, whom you would not know, but they live in Boulder, Colorado, and they just had, on Friday night, they just had their first child. So we have, Lynette and I have three grandchildren now. So, and yeah, and so we were asking, how was it? Of course, what did she say? It was unbelievably painful. It was, so challenging. We had no idea. It's like Carol Burnett said, somebody said, what's it like to give birth to a child? She said, like pulling your lower lip over your head. That was her analogy. And so if you remember Carol Burnett, we still love her, okay? So just act like you know her, all right? So some of you young people, she was a very famous, incredible comedian. So you had this, but then God still does these amazing things in our makeup and in the birthing of children. How is it that a little baby, a little 7-pound baby, could cause so much pain and anguish, yet all you hear coming out of the mother's mouth right away is, I love this baby. This baby is so loving. This is such a, she sends out the little, emoticons or whatever, the little face and the kisses on the sides of the cheeks. They're just gobbling up this little baby. You know what that is? That's oxytocin, right? That's the little cuddle hormone that kicks in at the first skin on skin. There's oxytocin kicking in. And, God help us to guard our little daughters, that they will never know that until they're, outside of the bonds of family and parents, right? They won't know that. They'll be locked up until they're about 40. Praise the Lord. All right. All right, that's the perverted male dominance and control spirit. Okay, so anyway, that's part of the curse. So there are better ways. So, but you look at this. The man is spoken to by God. The ground is going to be cursed. In other words, your job will be cursed. Your ground will be cursed. There's going to be thorns and thistles. She will have pain in childbirth. He will have pain in his eating, or in other words, everything it takes to provide food for your family. There's going to be pain in the job, all right? You're going to have pains in your job. And it's interesting that in most younger marriages, the two of the big issues are within the family of what's happening in the family with the children, pain there, and then pain at work, sweat at work. I mean, it's like every time I go in the subway now, you're starting to see people sweating, and you see the effects of the fall, and you see the pain that's here. There's pain that's here, and that's the difference. The main difference that you see is that there once was no pain, but now all of a sudden there's pain in the world, and we have to help people, and we have to deal with the reality that there's just going to be a lot of pain, and there's going to be dysfunction, and there's going to be, in the man, this controlling thing, and in the woman, there's going to be discontentment, and she's going to once. And I see it in my little girls. I see it. We were at a beautiful lunch last Sunday with some friends. Took us to a very nice place. I would call it high end. Anything just north of McDonald's would be high end for me, but this was like really up there. Okay, and a really nice place. And we're sitting down having this extraordinary meal, and our 5-year-old saying, "I want chicken nuggets." I'm like, honey, this is not that kind of place. They've never even heard of chicken nuggets here. This is not what they serve at this extraordinary restaurant. And you begin to see that, and you begin to see it in your home, that I go in, my wife's rearranging the furniture. It's like, I like my chair over there, It's like, where did it go? Well, it was in our home in North Carolina. It was out on the deck. This was the chair. It's ugly, but I'm hyper content. She might be discontent. I might be overly content to the point where I don't care. I just want to sit down, give me the remote, and I'm going to chill, right? So you have these issues, right? These are real issues. And yes, it could be reversed. Yes, it could be not quite that way, something else. The point is, we're all carriers of dysfunction and distresses. Anything that starts with D-I-S, we're all capable of going into the dis world, right? Even dissing one another, where we don't even know how to bond. And I think oftentimes I think about James Bond, who obviously did not know, why can't James really bond, with just one woman. So anyway, not in the notes. So sin corrupted everything. Sin was, Romans 6:23, theologically, it says that the wages of sin is death. It's the free gift of God is eternal life, but the wages of sin is death. That's exactly what God said to Adam and Eve. If you eat of this one tree, you will die. They had died immediately spiritually, immediately. And they became self-absorbed and looking at themselves. And then years later, as their body started winding down, they died physically. So this is the reality, and we still have sin on our DNA today. Sin is, if we give root to it and give place to it, here's what sin will do. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will always cost you more than you want to pay. These are the realities of sin. And so when you look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 8, here's the situation. The Lord saw the wickedness of man. It was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, I'm leaving out all of the context of this to get to the point. The context, as you read it, you'll see that they were doing some very bad things. Violence, destruction, hatred, evil. And as you continue to read this, it says, the Lord regretted. Can you imagine? The Lord regretted he had made man. And it grieved him to his heart. And he said, I'm going to blot out man and mankind who I've created from the face of the land, man and animals, creeping things, the birds of the heavens, for I'm sorry that I made that. Isn't this just grievous, right? God, that his creation would not live in harmony with the Creator. And we carry that brokenness, right? But we made a decision that we're going to overcome that through the grace of God. And that's exactly what the next verse says. But Noah found favor, or the word is grace, in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah. The word but in the Bible is an indicator of redemption. But there's a second chance. But perhaps they will repent. But, and we carry, in this world, we carry grievous stories every single day of people operating in a life that's separated from God. We hear their pain stories. We work with them. We walk with some of them. And these are difficult and challenging, but here's the promise of God. But I see you, but I know you, but I'll never let you go, but I will not forsake you. Though you've been forsaken by others, God says, I will never forsake you. Now, it's getting ahead of the story here, but this is where we get into the word called redemption. And in this word, it's so powerful that God's saying, I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to do something where you're not going to have this shame. You're not going to have these sorrows. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back into harmony, first of all, with your Creator. Secondly, I'm going to put you in harmony with those people around you, your spouse, your friends, your family. One of the first things that happened to me after I met Jesus is God gave me, this is like one of the first things I remember where God made it very clear to me in my heart. I barely knew the Lord. It was brand new Christian. But one of the things he said, I want you to go and take a year and live in your home instead of at college. Come back, live at your home, and get it right with your family. So I went to school in the day. I went to a local college, University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And then I went and just spent time with my family, building bridges. And it was like a miracle. It's like we finally had the family that we never had, because all of us, none of us knew God. We were all first generation believers in God and believers in Jesus Christ. And then God put, all of a sudden we had, it was joy in the home. It was all of a sudden, it was just happy. All of a sudden it was just like something new. It was, God was putting a family back together. Now my parents were divorced and still didn't know my father because he had disappeared, and Yet even my father, the next year after this getting it right there in my family, God sent me to find my father and found him. And then 2 years later, he became a Jesus follower and was with me for the next 20 years until he passed away. So God puts things back together. This is the redemption. See, when you look at the Noah story, you think, why is God so angry? Why is God so ticked off? Why, you know, why did he even make people in the first place? We have all these questions that are easy to sit down and talk about over coffee and answer these questions and that. But we ask these challenging, difficult questions. But you begin, as you get into the text, you see that God was not quick to judge. God's heart was not just to wipe out and abolish. God gave every chance through Noah, his father, and his grandfather. They were all preachers of righteousness. They were all saying, this is the way. We're calling you to come to God. We're building a boat now, and we want you to be on it. We want you to help us. We invite you to come. And through all that, they just like, oh, you're the idiot family. You're a bunch of just Bible thumpers or whatever they want to say. You know, you guys are out of touch. We're doing our thing, and you're trying to do this. And really, when you look at it, Noah just wanted to save his family. He wanted to preach, be faithful to preach the gospel, the good news, that God has a plan to save us, that it's coming. And do you know, it's amazing that Noah's grandfather was named Methuselah. Now, you remember Methuselah. What do you remember about Methuselah? Methuselah is the oldest dude on earth, the oldest guy referenced in the Bible. He lived 969 years. Why? Because his name tells the story. Wow. It's when he is dead, it shall be sent, speaking of the flood, the deluge. God was patient. As long as Methuselah was alive, it was fine. You ever feel that way? Sometimes I feel that way, like, my wife is nearby, it's going to be good. If she knows here, it's going to be fine. That's how we should feel with each other, that we are better together. And as long as we're standing together, we're going to make it through whatever it is, whatever it is. As long as you are standing together in unity. And that's what redemption is, pulling back together what was snapped apart, what was broken apart. And God then puts into redemption certain little indicators, certain patterns, little things. Like in Ephesians, it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Wow. Isn't that good? It's a word. How often do you get mad at somebody? I mean, come on, let's get real. Every day? Once a week? 5 times a day? You don't get angry? Are you living? Come on, you live in New York? Seriously. I mean, there are little things like you cut someone off, you bump into someone, they cuss you out. You know, you can just overcome that quickly, right? What about when it's in your own home? Well, what if it's a family member? What if it's your roommate? You stew and brew a little bit, or do you explode back? Those are both the natural reactions. But God says, before the sun goes down, in other words, at nighttime, and I'm telling you, I'm just in complete transparency. My wife, Lynette, and I, we don't really argue, but we have intense fellowship. That's what we call it. So we do have fights. Okay, you shocked? So far, nothing's been thrown around. She did hit me one time. She did. You did. You sure did. She threw a poochie bag at my face for not buying it. No, but we have these things. We were intense, and you were like, gave me a thing. You don't remember? It's the healing power of the gospel right there. Be healed. Okay. So we have these issues. But the thing that we know is that we're not just doing this alone. I have to give an account to God. I have to go to God. I have to get right when I'm making her mad. And it's sometimes not easy. Our tendency for both of us, we're both like, we want to move on, so we both just try to fix it. Like we're fixers, right? But that's not what she wants, and that's most of the time it's not what I want either. I think I can figure out how to fix this, but what we have to focus on and what we have to deal with is that we have to come back together and hear each other and listen and reconnect. And it's beautiful. And you know what? This is to the glory of God after this many years. She's still my best friend. I love her more than I've ever loved her. We think about each other every day, and we basically still feel like we're, in some degree, on a honeymoon, except we have too many children around us and grandchildren and everything. So it's not quite like the honeymoon. All right. Redemption. Let me just give you this verse right here. Genesis 5:28. Here's what happens. God says, when Lamech, Lamech, the Hebrew word, you have to put a Lamech, had lived 182 years, he fathered a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one will bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. So Noah was going to be the child who would bring relief. What did he bring to his family? Relief. Relief. And calmness and rest. God said, build an ark. So he built an ark to the exact dimensions that God said. People still build these arks today. There are two in the world. Here's a picture of one that is from that is going to actually be moved and relocated from, I believe, in Holland. And it's going to be relocated to Israel. And it's going to become like on one of the beaches in Israel. This is actually built to the dimensions of the Hebrew scripture of our Bible in Genesis. So it's possible. It's real. This is every ancient society has most of them, or if not all of them, have a flood story. Many of them, somewhere between 50 and 25 of these ancient stories are very similar to the story of Noah, which is fascinating to me, but it's not the point of this message. Hebrews 11:7 in the Hall of Faith says that Noah built this ark for the saving of his household. But he had to do it by faith. Why was it by faith? It's because this society had never seen rain. They had never seen a flood. They had never seen a boat that didn't exist. So everything about Noah, and this is why he's honored in the what we call the Hall of Faith, is because he had to operate without knowledge. He had to operate at a different kind of knowledge. That is the knowledge of trust in God. I trust you, God. You're telling me to do this? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to commit this to you. I'm going to give this to you. And this is what we see, is that Noah began to do something that was so unique. And Noah's redemption is much like the finished work of Jesus, who Jesus ultimately said, he said, take my burden upon you. He said, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And he said, pick up my rest. Take my rest. So Jesus is indeed the ultimate rest giver. And Noah was a type of Jesus. He brought a redemption story that when he was finished, all the animals, all the people, his family, it was 8 people, Noah's 3 sons, 3 daughter-in-laws, Noah and his wife. And those 8 is the biblical word for a new beginning, and they started a new world. This is the redemption. But the redemption did not stop here. The redemption. Now, we have redemption too. We experience redemption as well. And that is when anyone, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that when anyone turns to Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Brand new creation. A new person. The old things pass away. Sometimes that's a process. As we've shared in this church before, sometimes it's an instantaneous, miraculous moment where you go from darkness to light in a split nanosecond. That happens. But then there's this process of the old is just fluffing off. And as you two men are being baptized today, you're burying the old you, and he's going to be gone. The old you is gone. That's a gift. You don't have to carry the guilt. You don't have to carry the shame. You don't have to carry the torment. You don't have to carry the penalty for your sin. You become a part of the community that's on the boat and not those that are out there. See, that being on the boat of God's redemption, sometimes it gets challenging. You get challenged in relationship challenges. You can imagine being on that boat for the length of time that they were on that boat, it was kind of smelly, right? You think about how stinky it is in the church sometimes. Man, this church stinks. But then you think about the storm out there, and you begin to be encouraged. Man, thank God. Thank God I'm on the boat. A little smelly sometimes, but thank God my name is written in the book of life. You know, it's like I can't always get along with everybody the way I should, but man, I'm not jumping. I'm not jumping out there because it's over out there. And the new creation is the redemption. Jesus changes lives. Jesus came to conquer sin, hell, death, disease, the grave, the demons, and anything that would pull you down and overwhelm you. You may be in the battle today. You may be in the storm of a lifetime, but thank God you're on the boat. You're going somewhere, and God knows you. He's framed your world, and He's breaking through to give you a safe place and give you rest. And so it also then goes to the point of restoration, which is our final point. And we'll stop here and we'll take the Lord's Supper. They were building a brand new society. And at this point, Noah becomes this model of a man that blessed his family while he was building a future. He was building a future. He was building a boat. And I think about this in the world of restoring and restoration, is that so much of our work is building something for those that are outside of ourselves. Yes, we're called to build a family. Yes, we're called to build a business. Yes, we're called to build a brand, whatever you're building, building your resume, building whatever you're building. And it's important, and that's why God says it's better to have a good name than it is to have gold and silver. Building a good name, that is so important. Having integrity, not giving anyone any room for accusation. Don't waste it on a wild party. Don't waste it on other things. Just keep at it. Keep building. And this is where we go in a step of maturity. We're going to go from just being a blessing to being a builder. And so in all of our building, I believe God would invite us to be a part of building the new restoration of the new heaven and the new earth. I believe that's what we're called to do. We're not just, you know, at this phase of my life, I'm not living for myself anymore. It's like I've been there and done that. Okay, that was good. But we're living for others. And what we're doing here in this city is it's like we're building a boat, you know. It's not perfect. You know, there's a lot of things, a lot of flaws in it. We're going out there now. We're going out into the seas of dealing with faith and science, to the seas of dealing and helping people with their mental health and their wellness issues, and that's all around us. We're going out into the creative arts and the people in the arts world and the people in entertainment and the people in business and finance and all the challenges that we have. But we're doing it with the sense of we've been redeemed, that now we can go in and not just receive the blessing of redemption, but we can be a part of the building of the restoring of a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we know ultimately this comes from God, but we're building this. We're building our families, that our children, it's amazing that I was talking to a young man last night who had a terrible father situation, a prisoner, a terrible situation. And I was just talking to him saying, man, it's amazing. You have 5 children. You're such a great dad. It's amazing that you didn't carry the curse of what you were given. But through Jesus, the curse was not just broken. It wasn't just that God removed the pain. But you said, you know what? What was given to me and what's in my DNA, something different. Now I'm going to go about and I'm going to build a future. Build into these beautiful 5 children who are all exceptional and extraordinary. And he's been a faithful husband. He's never even wavered. And he's built this new future and this new life. And now it's like it's all of a sudden the curse is not only broken, but the curse is reversed. And he's doing what God called him to do. And that's what you see in Noah's family. That's what we're going to see in New York City. We're going to raise up different children, different grandchildren. No pressure right here. Praise God. Something new is going to happen. There's a blessing that's coming, and that's what you see in restoration. Man, God is blessing you to be able to build. He's blessing you for you because he loves you, because he wants to give you. And let me say that what happens to Lynette and me, it doesn't just happen to us. It's going to happen to you too. You're going to get a story. It may not be the story you want, but it's going to be a story that will take you farther, that will, instead of it being sin to take you farther and all that, God is reversing the curse on our lives. Because he sees you, he knows you, he's with you, and you're going to build something beautiful, and God's blessing each and every one of you in extraordinary ways. And that's the gospel story, and that's what we're doing. So I'm going to stop there. I just want to pray for you right now and just ask God to do something great in your life. Lord, thank you so much that Noah went on and you gave him a covenant and a promise that you would never destroy the world again through a flood. But God, and you gave him the rainbow as the sign of the covenant. As long as that rainbow is there, it's a memory that God will never destroy the world this way again. And God, I thank you that your love then to Noah and his family was everlasting, though they were not perfect. And Noah even blew it. But Lord, we thank you that Jesus, that you came to be the better Noah. You came to redeem us permanently. You came to save us forever. You came that we could have joy of heart and gladness. Now, Lord God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, I pray, break every curse, let every chain be broken, let every weapon that's formed against us be brought down. We condemn these in Jesus' name. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to stand up, to overcome darkness, and to be more than conquerors through Jesus our Lord. God, we thank you today in Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you've not been born again, this is your opportunity to receive Christ. We're going to serve the Lord's Supper to you, and you can receive him because Jesus said, freely you can receive. Come to me. There's no price on it. It's all the grace that Noah had, that Jesus had, and now that we have today through this new covenant. Amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.